I'm going to read a passage to you, two passages, and I want you to see if you notice the difference. Ready? Here we go. 2 Chronicles 14. It says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. All right, you got that one? Now let's look at this one, 2 Kings 14. In the second year of Joash, Amasa, the son of Joash, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did in all things as Joash his father has done, but the high places were not removed, and the people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. Everybody see the difference? What is it? You can answer me. Okay. He didn't remove the high places, did he? Amasa didn't remove them. Now, just make sure you understand, what are the high places? Yeah, the high places are those places where the false religions and the things of the world thrived. And there were five religious activities that occurred at those high places. And I think I made a list for you. Yep, here we go. Animal sacrifices, burning incense. And that sounds a whole lot like what they did with God's altars, right? But then we go on to prostitution, walking through fire, and human sacrifices. That's not what God ever asked for. Now, the fascinating part to me about all of this is that this is what happened at the high places, and every king had the ability to remove the high places or to sanction their use. Every king did. As soon as you stepped into the role of king, whatever you said was what you got. So Amasa had the ability to say, you know what, get rid of all the high places, exactly like good kings had done in the past. So why? Why? Why would a king personally do what was right, but then not go all the way and maximize his ability or his influence into the area that he did have influence? Why? You see, Amasa was an in-between king. And he was one of five that basically did this very same thing. They are characterized as they wanted to follow God wholly with their heart, but they didn't take care of this. So it'd be a lot like, well, you know what? In my walk with God, I'm going to go to here, but I'm not going to go to here. Why? Why? Why would anybody commit themselves to God and stop short of going all the way with God? Why? The Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but. And I read that to myself. And I was thinking as I was processing it, because I've been reading through the Old Testament, and I've come across this a couple different times. There's five kings like this. And I came to the same thing every time I got there. And it's like, I wonder how many Christians are going to stand before God, and God's going to look at them, and he's going to say, you committed your life to me, but. You gave your heart to me, but I don't want to stand before God and him say, you know what? You love me. You gave your heart to me. but you didn't pursue my will. You said, Lord, come into my life. But you didn't really ever love your neighbor. You never put much effort into loving your neighbor. Folks, do you really want to hear any buts when you stand before God? I don't think so. Amazah, he went to hear, but he didn't go to hear. Here was the peace and the blessings of God. Here was not. Here was, I'm good, my four and no more. But over here was the will of God, the full plan and purpose of God. Why would anybody stop short? Why would a person give his heart to the Lord and not want to do the will of God? I'm going to suggest why we stop short. Okay? And it is because of the buts. And that's just but with one T. It is those buts, whatever they might be in your life, that holds you here instead of here. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am quite sure heaven's going to be full of a lot of people who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. People that said, you know what, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. But put limitations on their commitment. For the next few minutes, I want to challenge you to consider what the high places are today and why they are not removed, why you possibly haven't removed them from your life. How it's very possible that you're sitting in this room, and I love you, but you're sitting in this room, and if you were absolutely honest, you would say, you know, I'm trying to do what's right. I love the Lord. I've given him my heart, but, and you know there's a but. So here's some buts we're going to consider today. But the high places don't really affect my spirituality. You see, that might be the but that's holding you back. It doesn't really affect me. The truth of the matter is, in one way, yes, it doesn't. I can love God whether you do or not. I can serve the Lord with all my heart whether you have any interest in serving God. Yes, in that aspect, it's very personalized. But the biblical mandate that says to love your neighbor, all right, says that if I am not loving my neighbor, if I'm not concerned about everybody else's spiritual welfare, that in reality I am selfish. Amen. That's really what it is. Well, I love the Lord. Okay, good. We love the Lord. But are we also selfish? The truth of the matter is not trying to spiritually influence others does affect our spirituality. Because our society begins to become more and more, the less Christianity, the less we the church, we Christians, inject ourselves into our culture, trying to affect it, trying to show the love of Jesus, trying to impact them, trying to help them understand that prayer does work, God hears and answers, trying to show them that God does love you no matter what you've done. The more we don't do that and inject ourselves into it, the more we're pretty much letting our society have the high places as much as they want. And when we do that, what we don't realize is that comes around to bite us in the other. Because the reality of it is society is not just going to sit over here under the tree with the Asherah pole. It is going to come back and affect the society or the community of the church. It directly affects us. Churches are weaker because we have spent too much time trying to hold the fort instead of taking the ground. Yeah. We can't have that mentality, nor can you have it as a Christian. Well, I just want to make sure that I'm all right and that I'm on my way to heaven. You can't hide a light under a bushel. It's not God's intention. Our schools, you know why they became a battlefield for the minds of our kids? Because we let our culture remove Bible and prayer. We basically said, well, you know, if they keep that over there and we keep this over here, you know, we might have made a bigger stink if they just said, well, we won't take prayer out of the church. We might have said, no. But when they wouldn't take prayer out of the school, I think there was a mentality. It was pretty much, well, as long as they're not affecting the church. But you can't. You can't separate. If the high places remain, they have a bearing upon the success of whatever is going on in the spiritual world. The sanctity of Sunday. You remember, how many of you remember when Sunday used to be a special day? Until our culture began to say, you know, that's just a dead old tradition. You know, we don't need that. We don't need that governing our life. When we ignore our God-given responsibility to influence, we hand our society over to the enemy. And folks, you can't do that, that it doesn't come back and have a direct effect upon the spirituality of what we are. All right, so here's another one. But it's hard to remove the high places. Yeah. Maybe you're here today. You've given your life to the Lord. But you're still struggling with lust, porn, anger, selfishness, pride, lack of control. And there's something inside of you that says, you know, if I can't get that out of my eye, I shouldn't be messing with what's in your eye. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, I commend you for not wanting to be a hypocrite. The beauty of it is God doesn't need us to be perfect to use us. Because if that was the case, he probably wouldn't use any of us. But the reality of it is you can't wait till you get your act all together to realize that you have a responsibility to address that the high places, the strongholds of the enemy, they need to come down. They can't stay there. You can't coexist with a high place in your life. They don't come down easy. They don't come down without a fight. And the reality is there's a lot of them. Even in the Bible, it tells us in 1 Kings 14 that there were high places on every hill and under every tree. Folks, that's a lot of high places. The truth of the matter is we are surrounded by the world. But being in it doesn't mean we are of it. And we must let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit was given to do, and that is to sanctify us and to continue to do a work inside of our life so as to help us be everything in Christ that we can be. You might personally have a hard time, and I want you to catch this. You might say, well, you know, the hard places are hard to take down. The high places are hard to take down. And you might personally struggle with a stronghold of the enemy inside your life. There might be a high place you're wrestling with on a continual basis. Here's the good news. That's all right. If you have to, and we'll just use temper. If you have to battle your temper and keep putting it on the altar all the time, it's okay. What's not okay is when you quit. When you say, it doesn't really matter. I love the Lord. It doesn't matter that I'm a hothead, that I blow up, and sometimes people see the other side of me. Well, it does. It does. When you think that they don't matter, then that gives you the ability to go, you know what, I love the Lord and I'm going to go to here, but I'm not going to do everything that he tells me. I'm not going to fully follow His will. I'm not going to use this life to bring the ultimate amount of glory and honor that I should to God. And I think that creates an in-between space that you don't really want to be. All right, one more but. But high places are natural to man. High places are natural. You can't, you know, what can you really do? People are going to do what they want to do. Did you hear that statement? People do what they want to do. If there is anything I've learned in 40 years of ministry, it's that people are going to do what they want to do. Everybody just, there's nothing to write down for just a moment. Everybody just look and listen. It does not matter whether you are saved or not saved. You're going to do what you want. I have been at this long enough that I know that you are going to go to church as much as you want to go to church. You're going to spend time with God as much as you want to spend time with God. You're going to love Him and serve Him as much as you want to love and serve Him. You're going to do as much as you want to do, because you know what? Nobody can take that away. God does not take that away from you. Oh, you're my child. No more free will. Now, I am a robot. I just do what God says. No, you don't. You do what you want to do. You can do what God says. You can. But let's get real. When you look at the kings of the Bible, what do you see? You see a few that went all the way. You see a whole bunch that didn't. And then you got this pretty good group in the middle that was in between. Here's something to ponder over. You ready? How many of you go home and take a nap? Be honest. Okay. Here's something you can ponder before you fall asleep, or after you wake up if you fall asleep too fast. The question is never, and this is in your notes, the question is never God's desire for you. It's always your desire for Him. Folks, His desire for you, that is without question. He proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for you. The question is whether you will live your whole life for Him. See, His desire is not in question. It's our desire. How much? The biggest challenge, and this is something I'm still on things to ponder this afternoon. You ready? The biggest challenge in the church right now is possibly this right here. It's not going to come up, so you just got to listen. I think this is the biggest challenge of the church right now. How do we move people back to desiring God more than anything? How do we get back to that? Did you hear me? How do we get back to that? How do we get back to getting this inside the heart of Christians that we should desire the Lord and His will more than anything else? You want to know the difference between the Church of Acts and the church of today? Two things. Two biggies. The difference between then and now. Number one. The freedom of the Holy Spirit. The dependency of the church upon the Holy Spirit. Church is not nearly as dependent upon the Holy Spirit today as it was then. Number two, the desire of the believers to want God's will more than their own blessing, more than their own life, more than their own freedom. When you stop and consider that and you look at today, not so much. Today we add God in. There God was everything in the early church. He was the ultimate desire of every heart. The truth of the matter today is Amasa is a very good example of what we have and what we are battling with today. He said, you know what? I'm going to follow the Lord, but only to a certain limit. I'm not going to take responsibility for this. I can love God and not pursue His ultimate will for my life. Now, come on. As a Christian, most nearly every Christian, at some point or the other, they won't say it out loud. I wouldn't say that out loud, but in here, my mentality is I love the Lord. I want to do what's right. But actually want His ultimate perfect will in every aspect, that's a little bit scary. I mean, good grief, what if He says go to Africa? What if He says sell everything and go do this? You know, our VBS, we invested our money in an orphanage. A orphanage or a home that basically, if you looked at the testimony of the woman that runs it, she pretty much sold everything, moved to Haiti, and said, you know what? I'm going to take these kids off of the street and give them a place to live. What if that was God's will more often than not? Now you know why I'm not praying God's perfect will. Now you know why I'm stopping here and not going there, because I don't want to hear that. Here's the thing. Amasa was successful enough. Now, he didn't have the blessings. He didn't have the peace that the kings who went all the way had. But he had enough that it basically made him think it is enough. And so as a result of that, in time, that lack of peace, that lack of blessing, he tried to expand the kingdom in a direction he shouldn't have gone, and he ended up seeing his kingdom destroyed right in front of his eyes. Because really and truly, that spot in the middle is not God's will. That's why he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but this lukewarm junk is not working. And it's not, and I know you'd think, well, it doesn't work for him because he'll spew you out of his mouth. Folks, it doesn't work for me because it's not peaceful. It doesn't feel right. And when I spend time in prayer and I spend time before God, he always keeps coming back to it going, you need to go all the way. No matter how much we think we can live right in the eyes of the Lord, if we set a limitation for how far we're going to walk in obedience, we will live as an in-betweener. And you will not know the peace and the blessings of God in the in-between. I believe that is a word of the Lord for somebody in this room. You're never going to be happy here when God wants you here. You're never going to know the blessings here that you would know here. The peace that you lay down at night and you are fully obedient in every area of your life, you will not know it here if over there is full obedience. If I was going to make a summary statement of everything that I was going to say today, basically it'd be this. You ready? No, the world doesn't have you. Okay? Everybody? No, the world doesn't have you. But ask yourself this. Does God have your whole heart? That's the question. Does God have my whole heart? Does He have my complete allegiance in every area. I don't want to be an in-betweener. You're never going to know what God has for you. And that's the challenge to leave you with today. Because it's so easy, especially in America, as Christians in America, it's so easy to, in our walk, in our belief system, to say, I'm going to serve you this much. Or I'm going to serve you this much because that's more than he's doing. And I'm going to serve you this much because that's more than quite a few of them are doing. That's not the matter. Who cares? The question is if God says, I want you here, anything less than that is never going to know the peace and the blessings. And I feel very much so that the church in America is somewhere in between. And there's not somebody pushing and telling you enough. So I'm telling you one more time, here, here. That's God's will.